What's so great about? What's so great about?
The podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
It sure is. Now, just going to rip this band-aid off at the top.
Hey, what's wrong with your voice, pal?
Yeah. Dude, fix your fucking face.
Mac in touch.
Look, a bit of a frog in my throat. I had now, this is the world we live in today, folks.
I had a bit of a head cold.
Oh, and I say a bit of a head cold. I was convinced I had coronavirus or COVID or whatever you want to call it. Like, my only saving grace was that I still had my sense of taste and smell. And like, I was texting you because we had been like face to face earlier on in the week.
Yeah.
So like we got antigen tests and I did the antigen testing and it was negative two days in a row. But apparently you're not supposed to do it if you're symptomatic. It's only if you're a close contact you do the antigen testing.
Oh, okay.
If you're symptomatic, you go get a PCR test, which I did. And let me fucking tell you, by the skin of my balls, I got a slot. Like, Monday morning, I logged on to the HSE. You know, you can do a self-referral. Now you don't have to go through a doctor.
Right.
Have you had a PCR test?
No.
No, not one COVID test.
I've never been tested.
No. 2 years. Yeah. Fuck's sake. Anyway, you can log on. You can choose, like, your area. And then there's a list of locations. And it was like, I was like, oh, DCU, like, just up the road, 40 slots available. Clicked on it. And then I was just like saying to Faye, looking at times, I was like, what? If there's one here for like 12, would you be able to give me a lift up? And she's like, yeah, yeah. So in between that 2 second conversation, I clicked on it. It's like, this slot is gone. And then I was like, oh, the airport, 100 and something things. I clicked on it. It's like, none for today, all for tomorrow. So then I went back and refreshed the page and it was like, I was like, there's fucking nothing anywhere. Like, I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to get a PCR test. I'm supposed to be like, you're kind of like, I was off sick from work, obviously, but I was like, I need to kind of get this sorted out.
Yeah.
Just for my own state of mind. Refresh it again. And then like the one that I want to go to, Crow Park, was there. It was like 17. And I just somehow I ended up getting it. And it's just like the queue, when I was down there, like the queue was around the block. I'm like, it's just,
wow, that's
like
crazy.
We're really back in it, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I was going to even talk about that because, like, it seems by all accounts
I'm drinking.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a bourbon.
Oh, nice.
Bourbon and Coke Zero. Wild Turkey.
Made in Kentucky, I'm guessing. Well, it would have to be if it's a bourbon.
You know it. Hey. Did you know?
Every time. But yeah, like, it seems like they're kind of easing us in to doing that thing where they just drip out a bit of bad news and then a bit of, well, there may be more bad news, and then there's more bad news. You know,
like
I don't know
with your job, we're like working on contingency plans in case we have to like basically ship everybody home again, like,
yeah, everyone in mine's kind of already set up, like they've been blending it like pretty much since it started. So
we have, but like in our place, some people have to be on site just for certain jobs, certain tasks. So it's kind of like, who do you need on what days, or how many days would you need somebody in, stuff like that. Like,
I suppose I always have to go in because there's always people in for recordings. Like, we'd have about 4 or 5 different recordings a day.
Is that a hot water bottle?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It's a very small one, no less.
It is. It's the only one that wasn't in use.
Are you cold?
Yeah. It's freezing.
Turn the heat on, man. I see a radiator behind you.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what happened with this. You know the way this is the dog's room? He's only gonna chew through the wire at the back of it. So there's no heat in here.
I don't know how that's the dog's room. The dog shouldn't have a room.
It's just what we call it. But yes, it used to be
a vibrant living space.
No, look at it. I'm in some sort of den.
No carpets, no wallpaper, no heat. Nothing.
Anyway, that's commitment. Yeah. But it's crazy out there.
Yeah, man. They asked me, like, have you had a PCR test before? And I was like, yeah, probably over. And then I was like, like a year ago? And then I was like, it's been a year already. It's just flown in.
And did they stick it right up your nose?
It actually wasn't this bad this time around. Like last time it was like right down the back of your throat to the point where I'd be like, afterwards. And I'd be like, here, have some water. Whereas the girl this time was just like inside my cheek. And she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was like,
I feel
like a day at the spa compared to. And then up nose wasn't too bad either. Like,
yeah, but yeah, I've still managed to sort of dodge. I took one antigen test myself, but it was more just because it was lying around rather than actually having symptoms. But I'm pretty sure I'm still certain that I had the type of guy,
if there was a pregnancy test around, you'd pee on the stick just to see.
Yeah. Like, well, let's just see. You never know.
Oh, I'm not pregnant.
Well, it's one of those, yeah, like I've managed to sort of dodge the bullet so far, but I'm almost certain that I had it the December before the March, that like when we all closed down. Me and Kerry were so sick together, and it
wasn't even in the country that stage.
Hit us like a ton of bricks. Yeah, but that's what they say. But maybe they just hadn't tested it yet, or you know. That's by far the sickest we've both been together. You know what I mean? It was really odd, but anyway, Terry.
There's a show on Netflix that I started to watch called Inside Job. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's animated. It's all about the crowd that control conspiracies. That's you, that is me.
Perhaps once. Now, you may notice I'm drinking out of my lovely bottle.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering the temperature of the...
Was it 98 degrees Fahrenheit?
No, it's Celsius. Give me a little credit.
What's it in Celsius?
12.
98 degrees?
No. Listen, Terry.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about something.
Sure. Serious?
It's sports related, Terry. It's right up your alley.
Hello.
You got your wish.
No, I didn't.
You got your wish. Well, I hope you're satisfied. You're bankrupted a bunch of naive football folk. Huh?
With dreams of radioactive men. Look, what's your thoughts? It was for the best.
We're talking about Man United's manager getting the sack.
Ole Solskjaer is no more. Yeah. I mean, he's still alive, don't get me wrong.
Ole Solskjaer is no more.
I said from the get-go, I wanted it to be him, but it wasn't to be him. And even like that exit interview thing he did, it's like, you know what? He's too good. He's too good for that club. He is too good a person for the way that club is
run
at the moment.
That's a good way of looking at it.
He's not in
a managerial sense.
No.
But in a human sense.
If you're getting the brass... Yeah, in a human sense. Like, you're getting the brass taxes. That club's a shambles. And the way the recruitment... Like, it's so scattershot.
Yeah.
They kind of backed them this summer, but like, it just... I know.
Can I ask you, do you think... I've seen Paul Merson in the week saying something about...
Give me a fucking break with this guy. Like, he's the worst. His hot takes.
I generally agree, but I wanted to get your thoughts. You probably know the quote where he was saying that he had this system last season when they finished second, and he had Greenwood and Rashford and all that, and... You know, Fernandez playing down the middle, and then he was given Ronaldo, and then his team couldn't really play the way that they were playing last year.
I completely disagree with the whole Ronaldo is the problem thing.
Right.
Like, I completely disagree with it. Like, a friend of the podcast, Paul Egan, was texting me about it, and he was kind of saying the same thing, but Ronaldo's disrupted the team.
Mm.
I don't think he has. I think if you... Because we had, like, for the most of the last two seasons, we had Martial...
Yeah,
playing through the middle, who doesn't press and is a fucking sulky, fucking wanders around the pitch most of the time, like, so, like, and doesn't give you the end product that Ronaldo does.
Yeah,
but the rest of the team was working more together, and it's not working this time. Like, there's been a huge drop off in Maguire, Shaw, even Fred.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Where, like, McTominay as well. I mean, he kind of blows either very good or not very good. Like, even Wan-Bissaka is defending, like, at the moment. His best part of his game is kind of all over the shop. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Something wasn't clicking, apart from the center forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the story became too big. You know what I mean? Of, like, him, like, the story being him still having his job. Like I was saying there earlier in the week, like, he was in an interview with Jeff Shreves, and Jeff's like, he's like, "Well, Ole, here we are again." And all this, you know, like, after they lost 4-1. I'm like, first Jeff of all, I'm like, Shreves, fuck this guy. And he was just looking for him to confirm, yes, I'm about to get sacked. Are you confident? And all this sort of stuff. And the worst thing is, like, Ole's still being, like, super nice and answering and playing the game. And he's like, you know, just how low is, like, are you feeling right now? He's like, he just want to be like, just fuck off, will you?
Yeah. Like, you remember when he called Harry Redknapp a wheeler dealer? And Harry Redknapp was like, I'm not fucking wheeler dealer. I'm like, Harry, I'm sorry. Like, you know, if you put it up to him, like, he is, I don't know, Jeff Shreves went from the kind of, like, voice behind the microphone to almost like a celebrity, and I think he kind of smells his own farts a bit too much.
Yes, you know, is he the guy, like, who had it out with Klopp when Klopp was like, "Congratulations"? Was that him?
No, that was BT Sport, and that guy was just standing up for himself.
He overdid it.
No, he didn't.
Come on, like, he made the whole interview about it.
Because
Klopp, address it, because put him in his place, and then continue on.
Klopp made his own bed with that one. Klopp was like, "Congratulations, that's your fault." He's like, "Well, like, I'm not."
He's like, "Grant, you're happy?" After 2 minutes of the other guy giving it back, then I was like, "Yeah." And then Klopp, you can tell, is trying to just move on and talk about the match. And then he kept bringing it back, and I'm like, "All right." Like,
people need to stand up to bullies like Jurgen Klopp, though.
Okay. What do you think of this new guy that you're getting?
Ragnarok.
Ralph,
well, apparently he's the guy that came up with that style that, you know, Klopp and the other kind of, like, Nagelsmann and stuff have adopted.
The hot shit managers around Europe.
Yeah, I mean, look, who knows? It seems too sensible an appointment for Man United in that.
So everyone's saying, like, what's going on?
Because, like, he's the guy who those Red Bull teams... He was director of football. Like, he found, like, Keita. He found Haaland. He found these guys. Right. That you're like, if he stays on at United as a director of football, or, you know, he's going to be a consultant or whatever, but, like, he could potentially unearth the next one of these. And you're like, that seems far too forward-thinking for this, regime. Look, it's sad. I was very sad. Brought a tear to my eye seeing that Solskjaer interview, like,
where he was crying at the end.
Like, yeah. And it was just so, like, he's like, "I love Michael." I'm getting emotional now. And he's
that's
like,
"It, guys.
They'll be fine. And I'm like, you know, even that, like, he carried himself with such class where he's like, stand up, be proud, you know, whatever. And like, he was never going to walk away because
he loved the club too much.
Yeah, too much. And he obviously wanted to believe in himself, but, like, I think,
I do get the impression
they shouldn't have extended his contract in the summer, really.
Yeah.
And they should have been like, "You've done a great job, you've got us to this point, and now you can leave with your dignity intact, and we can move on to the next thing."
Mm.
But, you know, it was seen as the cheap like viable option that, you know what, like it'll keep the fans happy, and if we're there or thereabouts,
yeah,
you know, it'll be grand. But we haven't been there or thereabouts so far. We get like their Premier League form. What was it, the last 5 out of 7?
Yeah, shocking.
Like, when was the last time that happened? The United team, like
that last one in particular, was like no question it was coming. You know,
the Watford game.
Well, listen, Terry.
Have you been watching it, Andy? Let me ask you.
Oh, no, not really. Nothing of note to report, to be honest. Mm.
Cool.
So I'm throwing the ball back to you, Terry.
I tell you what, I checked it because I know, look, I brought it up to you earlier on today in our text thread. Now TV,
mm-hmm.
If you get the box sets, you get the entertainment package for whatever, fucking £12 a month or something. You get a bunch of live TV channels and you get a bunch of box sets.
Does it work? Does it stall?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Now, especially, where's your router in your house?
In above the television.
Cool. Here's what you do.
Ethernet. You get an
Ethernet cable.
Yes.
That's what I do with my TV, and it never, ever, ever stalls. Here's what it is. We were brought up to believe that wireless is the best thing. If you talk to any techie out there,
100% give me wires.
They will say wires is the best fucking thing. Or like, people are like, oh, wireless capabilities. Like, if wires never fails,
100% guaranteed to not work on the time of the event.
What?
Whatever.
Wireless.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's not. It's just not picking it up. Like, oh, okay.
I'm plugged in right now with a wire. Can we get it? Anyway, so Now TV they're always putting, this is the best thing, they're throwing new channels on. So you have your Sky Atlantic.
And what you getting from Now TV?
I'm not getting anything. I told
Come
you,
on,
I get,
the jig
I
is
get
up.
Off. I get off from talking about high quality content, Andy.
Oh, come on, where's the cameras?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you got it all wrong, Andy.
Go.
He's on to us. they've added a new channel called Peacock. I don't know if you've heard of the Peacock Network.
I've seen it on Sky there on the list of apps.
Yeah.
Peacock. I was like, what's this?
Peacock is in the States. You know the way there's like, you have Netflix.
Yeah.
You have Amazon. You have, say, HBO Max. HBO came up with their own streaming service. Paramount Plus have their own, like that's the Paramount streaming service. Peacock is the NBC streaming service, right?
Right.
And what they've done on Now TV for no extra charge is thrown a bunch of Peacock originals onto your Now TV package.
Stop saying Peacock.
Never. But it get what appeared on my feed, because I was like, I'd heard about this and I wanted to watch it. But there's no way to watch it without me going to the effort of illegally streaming or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Saved by the Bell reboot.
I seen that was out.
Andy, I watched the first episode.
And?
It's good.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
Everyone in it? Except for Screech, obviously.
Lisa is not in it this far. And
Tiffany
Belding.
In it? Jake?
Tiffany. Jake. So here's...
Zach.
Zach?
I was thinking California
Dreams. Yeah. Wait till they do the reboot for that. Jake.
They basically Jake. Did Jake. In USA High.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. But I
watered down version. There was something about that main guy that was very rapey. There definitely was. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's a reason you don't see him in anything else anymore these days.
That's like that sort of rich kid sort of character, was he?
Rocking at USA High.
It was literally a carbon copy.
And it was a bunch of Americans.
Yeah,
and
like a French
English
school or something.
In Paris.
Yeah.
And the teacher was British, who had a big crush on the French teacher.
This thing writes itself.
But anyway, so Zach is the governor of California in the new one, right? So, and he's married to Tiffany, of course. But the whole thing was he slashed like $5 billion or whatever from the education budget.
Right.
So a load of schools have to close. And then it kind of somebody bring, he was like, I went to public school, I went to Bayside, in a press conference, and they were like, why don't you then fold in all these schools into Bayside, so like a bunch of poor kids are going to the rich public school,
right,
in Bayside, so you get like some of the students are like Zach's son, you get like the version of like his frenemy, like his Slater is like, it's weird, this is where we are in the world, it's like a trans girl,
right,
and like I didn't realize it was trans and or they were trans until they mention it, and then I was like, oh, that's kind of saying, he's like, are they trans? And he was like, and then you're kind of looking, it's like, oh yeah, I think so, but they're kind of like flippant about it, or it's like,
and who's, what character is this?
This is like the version of like
AC Slater.
Yeah, she keeps calling him preppy and right. stuff like that. Oh, okay. Like, so it's like he, like his frenemy. You know, they're rivals, but they're friends.
So is it more starring these characters?
Yeah, but like
than
like
the
Slater
original?
Slater is the coach. Like
looks
Jesse.
Exactly the same as he did in 1992.
He looks weird though. I was
Mario.
Like,
I tell you what, I love Mario Lopez. I follow him on Instagram, and I just love him.
But you know, I think like he looks like too. He's like almost like is something unnatural about like his face.
Yes, no. I do agree. It looks very like, LA or something. Like I don't.
Like, he doesn't look bad per se, but I was like, there's something like unnerving
something
about
like,
him.
It's like he's been. It's like he's a walking airbrush photo. Yes. It's like he's been airbrushed.
Whereas Jesse, looks well for her age. Like yeah. we were both saying, oh, she looks great. Like in that, like she kind of looks natural. Like
yeah.
And then you have here's the principal. You'll like this guy. It's not Belding.
Oh, I was gonna say Belding.
It's the guy from Community. I will have a birthday cake.
I can't tell you how often I use that line when I'm trying to decide something.
Oh, look, it's a funny. You know what makes the show funny is that like it's not trying to be Saved by the Bell. It's not trying to be like a laugh track comedy.
Yeah,
and that's where the humor kind of comes from. That it's a bit different.
I'm interested in that now.
It's good.
I'm interested.
And the other thing I've been watching on it is I don't know if you've seen the show AP Bio.
I have not.
Your boy Dennis Reynolds, Glenn Howerton. That was, remember when he left It's Always Sunny for a while? He went to do this show.
Right.
I really like it. It's running, it's in its fourth season. Like, he's like a philosophy professor that kind of was washed out of Stanford. Right. And he gets a job back in Ohio in the local high school. But the whole thing, like, he's teaching biology, even though he has no biology experience.
Right.
And he's like, basically, he basically says to the kids in his class, like, you help me get my job back in Stanford, I'll give you all passing grade, I'll give you all A's so you can go to whatever college you want to go to, or whatever. So, like, there's the whole pushback between some of the students are like, we teach us about biology, and some of them are like, oh, this guy's really cool. The show has evolved from that in its fourth season now, but it's really, really good. Really funny.
I love him.
He's great. You know what I mean? Like Patton Oswalt, Spence from, like he's like the principal of the school.
How much is Peacock?
Now TV, you mean?
Oh, it's just on Now TV.
Yeah, it's on Now TV. It's part of my package, Andy.
Oh, all right, Terry.
12 euro. Look, I gave you the link. It was €1 a month. Your first month was a euro.
This is how much Terry wants me to get Now TV.
We were texting
earlier. A friend of ours said, oh, there's a great deal on The Athletic. And I was like, oh, I might look into that. And Terry was only short of saying, it's like, he won't look into it. He never looks into it. And you know what? I probably wouldn't even have signed up. I actually then just signed up almost out of spite.
Did you sign up? Yeah. You motherfucker.
So now I'll be able to have informed conversations when the two of you start talking football.
But if you get Now TV, Andy, we can talk about...
I will be getting Now TV because I checked my like Sky bills and like...
I'd say it's through the roof, Sky.
Well,
you're mental.
Right now, I think I'm just going to get a dodgy box, to be honest. But anyway, it's like 57 a month at the minute for TV and internet.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm riddled with discounts.
My internet is like 60 a month.
It's crazy.
That's it, like. But I got the good broadband. And
yeah,
the,
I don't.
That fiber power.
Anyway, so it's going to go up to like 90 quid. All my discounts are going away in a couple of months.
See you later,
so
man.
That's when
quid.
I'll be ditching the
like
TV.
Like 90 quid plus your Netflix, which is, 12 quid.
And that's 90 quid for like basic broadband and basic TV, which I don't watch. You know, so.
And you can't get NTL in your area, you were saying.
No, I can, but like it's basically, I think it's actually Kerry's dad is the reason why I can't have fiber optic broadband.
Why?
Because they were running the wire house to house, and they were like, oh, we're just going to have to run the wire. And then they started digging something in the garden, and he told them to fuck off. So like there's a big...
In his garden?
Yeah, so like you can see like there's wire, and then a big roll of wire just hanging on the roof still. So it's obviously just stopped at that house.
You got to sort that out, man.
So that's why I don't have it, of all things. And else you've been watching?
Not really. Like I was saying, I was not well for... Like when I wasn't in, like I was in bed, I was back to my go to of Seinfeld. When I'm not well, I just turn that on and try and sleep.
Yeah.
And kind of. I have to say though, like I know we did our top five TV characters of all time.
Yeah.
And if we were to do maybe a top five performances of all time.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to put Michael Richards in there.
So good, isn't it?
So there's been nobody since that does, and I know they talk about it all the time on like the extras on the box sets and stuff, but the physical comedy of like say of the 90s, it's probably him and Jim Carrey are the two that are like the best physical comedians. Like I was kind of in and out of the haze, but like he had an episode where he was like his back needed to be scratched.
Yeah.
And like the girl at the counter has like long nails and she's scratching his back. And he goes through phases. It's like a 5-10 second clip, but he goes through so many phases of like, oh, like,
yeah.
And it, like, you know, it's almost as if like he knows when to like peak and then take it down in his physical mannerisms or whatever. Like, he's so good.
And he was so sort of. He was serious, very serious about it, you know. Like he was very—he used to get quite annoyed when like Elaine would laugh.
Come on, Julia. And that's another performance where you're like, you look at it, and you're like, man, like she really is the MVP, one of the MVPs, I think, of comedy.
I agree.
And like, you look at the success because, like, even after Seinfeld, she didn't really do much for a while. And then she did like New Adventures of Old Christine, and like she won another Emmy for that. And then like Veep, I think she won like 3 Emmys in a row.
Veep did amazing, didn't it?
Yeah, like, but she won like 3 in a row, 3 or 4 in a row, like of Best Actress. She won a couple, but like even in Seinfeld, like you're looking back and like
so
we're saying the quality of it, and you're like, but she's also like. Like she was fucking smoking hot, like as
she
well.
Was,
and I'm like, fuck! I'm like, never appreciated when I was younger. You're like, oh, Elaine with the frizzy hair, or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it was the hair that put you off when you're younger. Like
big wall of hair and a frying pan face.
But yeah, like really had like ticked
had
every box. Like, you know, like so funny, and just like could make like just this like just even someone saying like, oh, great. You know, but the way she's like, great! You know, like, it just, whatever, like, she just gets to this, like, she's just, like, every one of them, to be honest, was, like, the perfect fit. And I was only watching an interview with Jason Alexander there the other day, and he was saying, like, a lot of the time in the script, which you probably know, but, like, they didn't really tell them what they were doing. It would just be a page of dialogue. Mm. And so it'd be up to them to sort of walk around and say, oh, maybe I'll open the fridge, or maybe I'll take the remote and
like
turn on the TV, you know. Yeah, and like he said, like there was no, and they said if they knew the show was going to run for as long as it did, they would never have designed the set in like Jerry's apartment like that, because it's so small and there's like nothing really to,
it's perfect though, like
you can
if you
stand
think
at
about
the counter.
It, like,
I think, I mean, that's what makes it, it's so contained like in that apartment.
I guess it, like, they kind of by season 8 they play around with that, remember with the fucking Connie episode where he's like changing around, like,
oh yeah,
I hate it here, you know, when he has all the like the shouting in.
Just do it.
Yeah. I get you, Seinfeld.
Well, look, Terry, should we get into
sure, what are we at here? Movie. Two, half an hour. Oh, okay. Can you hit me with some boff, please, for No One Gets Out Alive?
Sure.
What year was this?
2021. Now, that's pretty much where the boff ends, Terry.
Right, okay.
I don't have much.
I will say to you, I didn't have a clue what this was until I flicked over the thumbnail and the little clip started, you know?
Yeah.
And it had popped up in my feed before. And I will say, I will give you props because I was at least like, that's interesting. Like the first time I saw it. And I never went back to it, obviously, but like it had piqued my interest. The clip is like her walking up the stairs and he's like, rent is this, you know, whatever. Like he's, and then it shows you a couple of scary things. And I was like, like,
yeah. And then also like, I remember when I was,
why did you pick it?
I was going through, like trailers on Netflix and I seen that one very similarly and just thought, And then I said, by the creators of the Ritual, which was a movie that I really liked.
Was that the one with the lads and the bachelor party in the woods?
Like the Swedish hikers. Yeah.
The British guy is in it as well, though, isn't it? Your man. What's his face? He was.
I remember
Life of Pi, Pete versus Life. What? He's somebody's son.
You're asking the wrong bloke.
Hold on. Let me tell you right now. I'll tell you whose son he is right now.
But yeah, that also piqued my interest. When I seen that, I was like, oh, well, I did like that.
Rafe Spall.
Okay.
Timothy Spall's son.
Okay, never heard of him.
Now, you might know Timothy Spall as the guy who, in Vanilla Sky, is Tom Cruise's mentor or whatever. He's like, oh, David.
Oh, yeah.
Your father...
Oh yeah,
great fucking actor. I will tell you, yeah, Timothy Spall is fantastic. So Rafe Spall is his son.
Okay.
He was in The Ritual. I think I've solved the puzzle.
Well, at one point in the movie, a newscast mentions four lost hikers in the Swedish woods. I don't know if you remember.
I did not. Which is a reference. I do enjoy that when they kind of drop a little Easter egg in.
And that movie, The Ritual, also used an Adam Neville novel as its source material. Because this is based... This
on a novel?
No One Gets Out Alive is based on a novel, that was in 2014, called No One Gets Out Alive by Adam Neville.
Now, do you know if it deviates much?
Yes, the ending deviates.
But is it a horror novel? Like,
yeah, I think.
Huh.
It was directed by Santiago Mengini.
I saw that.
From a screenplay by John Croker and Fernanda Coppel. It stars Christina Rodlow and Mark Menchaca. It was released 29th of September in 2021, so only literally
a couple of weeks ago. Okay.
Brand new.
Jesus.
I couldn't find any other information about it.
Yeah, like with these, like if you picked a couple of low profile Netflix ones, I think it's going to be that much harder to find out, like especially ones that don't get a theatrical release. They're essentially straight to video.
I'm guessing the budget was not over 5 million.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
I mean, there's what, 3 sets?
Yeah.
4 sets on it, like, or, you know, a lot of it is shot an alleyway.
Well, listen, tell me.
Can I ask you? I just want to flip it for a second because you picked this.
Yep.
What did you think of it?
Okay. I thought it was good up until a point.
Yeah.
The ending was ridiculous. The last half hour was kind of ridiculous. But. It was actually quite well done up until then. You know what I mean? At first when I put it on, I thought, oh shit, this the whole thing's going to be in Mexican. or Spanish, or you know, whatever. Like I thought, like, oh, it's, I thought, like, I'm gonna have to be like really dependent on the subtitles here. And I was thinking, go on, yeah.
The girl, the main girl, I was like, I know her from something. I don't know her from anything, but she had a good face.
Yeah,
for lack of a better thing term, like.
Like, I liked the whole, like, the whole story is basically she is an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, who's just looking for, like, basically a life in the US.
Yeah.
And so she has no rights, and she's...
She basically, like, turned down her chance to go to college to stay and look after a sick mother, stayed there too long, and she's only really getting to start her life now.
Yeah. So like... You know, the whole
mid-20s, guess.
Yeah, and I thought the whole immigration angle was quite good, particularly that they introduced like other sort of girls about like an hour in, like from different countries and stuff like that as well. So all that stuff, I thought it was really well shot. I thought some of the, like, just even use of the lighting and the lights going off. You know, it's like some of that, like, was quite good. I thought, like, the eyes lit up was a bit stupid. You know, like the old woman who'd be standing there with those, like, bright pinpoint eyes. Thought that was a bit stupid. The ending we'll get to, it was ludicrous, frankly. But what did you think?
I'm kind of with you. I was saying to you, I was just about to settle in to watch this movie last night when my power went out. So. You know, and I hadn't even had my dinner or anything like that, so I had a crisp sandwich for dinner.
Hey, my man.
You know, I'm classy like that. And we had... Because the power was gone on Sunday as well.
Jeez.
So we went and bought a bunch of candles on Sunday, but it was gone during the day, and it came back after about an hour.
Right.
But I don't know if that... Like, I think I was up in bed at the time, again, not feeling well. And I came down and felt like the power was gone. I was like, oh.
Right.
She was like bringing Bonnie out for a walk. And I was like, oh, well, I'll go down to the couch and I'll kind of wake up and just like veg and watch TV or whatever. It's like, can't even do that. Like, like on my phone watching football, depressed as fuck. Like,
in darkness.
No, well, it was light out still. Okay. But so it happened again last night. And I was sitting there watching. I was able to do, like, I had a full charge of my laptop, thankfully. Nice. And I was able to use my hotspot from my phone to you know, watch it
I was thinking, because I had seen it already.
It really added to the atmosphere, though, watching it in pitch black.
I wonder what he's going to think of this movie now under these conditions.
It added to the atmosphere of it. I liked... Like, even the first, like, so she goes and stays in this, it's a fucking guest house.
Like, this fucking, it's on this, like, normal street, like, normal, Big Adams family, like,
and I guess house. It's supposed to be, like, Boston?
Yeah,
somewhere
I
like
think
that.
So.
Like,
it's picture a haunted house in your mind. That's what the house looks like. Just
places,
on this normal street.
But these places exist in,
it's crazy.
Like, in Dublin, you know, they'd be like, there's the fucking creepy house at the bottom park. You know what I mean? Like, they do exist still. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but that guy who runs it, Red.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen him in anything else.
He looks familiar.
He always plays like a scumbag. Did you watch Ozark at all?
I've seen the first couple episodes.
Yeah, he's like one of the creepy redneck uncles in Ozark. Okay. In one of the latest episodes of Curb, he shows up as a KKK member. Like, he always plays
poor
these.
Guy.
Yeah, but he's good. Like, he's kind of good in this. In that, like,
I thought he was probably one of the best things.
Yeah, he's good in it. Like, I have to say, he was solid. He was dependable. Like, you know what I mean? You know what you're getting from this guy. He's solid enough.
Yeah,
and like, he's telling her all, you know, the rules, the month's rent up front. Which turns out to be a key plot point,
yeah,
I guess. But like, the first night she's there, she's having a dream. It keeps flashing back to like her mom being sick and like how she stayed with her mom.
That's what I liked about this as well, is the sort of meshing of the dreams.
Well, you just with the real there's like world. A little arm on her or something like that. When
yeah, that sort of stuff. It was quite sort of well done. Subtle, just, she'll wake up she'll wake up and the door to her bedroom is now like wide open into like a mad dark hallway. Like it looked like it's like I wouldn't want to get up and close
the
that
very
door.
Opening of the film though was to like was somebody like collecting butterflies or something. I didn't really understand. Maybe I missed it. Like they don't really honest, again no. Like within the tall grass. I need a bit of rules.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and they didn't give me anything by the end of, like, what was the reason for this?
Like, it just is.
Yeah, pretty much, like.
I think all of the, like, we'll get to the end, but. And you know what? Like, even if you haven't seen it, like, still, we'll try and keep the conversation as general as possible because I doubt a lot of people are going to have seen this, but. Like, they didn't really do a great job of explaining how they got to the end point. Like, there's little subtle hints on the shelf and stuff of, like, a little, like, moth-related
thing. Kind of, like, yeah, moths is a big theme. Like, red and Ambar.
Yes.
That's our protagonist. Ambar. Mm-hmm. A-M-B-A-R. Not Amber. Ambar.
Ambar.
What's that?
Yeah,
Gesundheit.
Yep.
Gesundheit. So they have a conversation about, like, because at one point, like, it's just red, and then I couldn't make out if it was, like, she's downstairs, and there's somebody banging their head against the door.
I think it was red.
No, it wasn't red, though. It was his brother.
Oh, your man, yeah.
Becker, was that his name?
Yeah. Or Beck. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Beck, or Ted Danson.
Paul Levesque.
Phil Brook and Paul Levesque. But like he was banging his head, and then so he's kind of introduced as like Red's sick brother who's also fucking massive, like
big
shaved head
looking.
Hulk like.
Yeah.
So there's this lumbering guy that he just kind of drops into the movie.
Yeah, about like 45 minutes in, I was like, okay. Oh,
yeah, if even like that's halfway through the film, but they have a conversation where he kind of talks about his dad. Red and Ambar have a conversation about his dad being abusive, and like Beck looked after him when he was younger. Now he's looking after Beck.
Yeah,
and but that's about it. Like they don't really say like only they say like the dad killed the mother, and they kind of at one point there's ghosts. Running around, she sees ghosts or something, and I was like, was that supposed to be the dad and the mother?
Yeah, it was a bit, like,
muddled. Yes. Now, I would say the real world stuff was intriguing me more, like her working in the sewing sweatshop.
Yeah, like she's working, like I was thinking,
this guy, the boss. Yeah,
what a piece of shit,
cartoonish, to say at least. Like.
I know. See, at first, like, it took me a while to sort of, I'm not going to lie, figure out everything that was going on. And so my notes up to this point, I'm like, why is she living here? Why is she working there? She's making terrible choices. So at this point, it was soon after I copped on there.
I couldn't figure out if I wanted to see, or if I would have preferred to have seen a movie that was just about the struggle of an immigrant's life. Non-supernatural stuff. A better done supernatural
power. Yeah.
Like because some of the scares in it were just like, they weren't quite like bleh, but it's almost just like there's just somebody standing there and you're like, okay, you know.
Yeah, but
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. Like, I was not scared in this movie for one second.
Like the whole, like, you know, there's a woman, an old woman standing behind your back, like trope, has been done like to the hills. But I liked the sort of stuff where it's like, you know, I like the subtle stuff. Like she's in her room and she hears someone like walking to the door, and then here's like chanting and stuff like that. Then the lights go off in the hall, And then there's like a bang on the door.
That
like,
was your man. That,
yeah.
Mark in the room. That was Beck. Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff. I think this was.
But like, what is it? Like, what is this? What is he doing? They don't really tell you any. Like, there's like, this is the rituals. Like, is it?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm with you.
My critique in a lot of these horrors or my like bugbear is like, as soon as as soon as you walk in and you see your man just banging his head against the wall, just turn right around and leave. And like, yeah, I'm not coming back. I'll chalk that up to a lesson. And
they're doing the job. Like her first scene in. Like she's in a motel and was like, you need ID or you can't stay more than 2 weeks. Right? That was the whole thing. And that's why she's in this boarding house.
Yeah.
And like, because she has nowhere else to go. So they're kind of doing the job of, well, she doesn't have anywhere else to go. Like she has this job interview lined up by her uncle and she lied to her uncle saying she was an American citizen. Make sure she has her ID. She's trying. Her friend Kinsey, is gonna get her an ID. In and at one point they're in a bar, they're drinking martinis. I'm like, you guys, you're strapped for cash.
Yeah,
you're drinking fucking martinis. Come on, girls. But and she gives her all money. Her money.
She runs right. off,
and then Kinsey's just never to be seen. I was like, oh,
yeah, that was like, ah.
It's a lesson.
Can we talk about the end?
Well, yeah, I want to like maybe like if we get there.
Yeah, like
like
the whole time I should say that you're seeing this box.
Like, oh yeah, she keeps seeing the box.
She keeps seeing this box in her dream, and then the people she's boarding with, beefy hands coming out, and the people that she's staying with, like, do you see the box, or you know, all this sort of stuff. So there, I'm like, oh, what's going on? What's happening with the box?
And like, there was a girl. We said, oh, it's just you and Freya staying here at the moment. And then it's like, where's Freya? It's like, oh, Freya moved out a few days ago. It's like, no, she didn't.
Yeah,
something fucking happened to her, man. But there was a good bit, I will say, because she is freaking out. Like, she's like, kind of like, oh no, there's something going on here. And, sorry, excuse me, 1 second. I'm just going to get a sup of water.
No problem. Well, folks, it's just me and you here, and, I guess now is the time to tell you all. Oh.
So, she's basically trying, and she gets fired from her job as well.
Yeah, I don't need this. You're fired.
Asshole. Well, she's then been spending the day, she leaves the house, and is spending the day on the streets, kind of riding around, trying to find a new place to stay. No one will take her. And she's on the train.
Yeah.
And at one point, remember, it was like the train is just empty. It's swaying from side to side. All the lights are flickering. I was like, that looks really cool. Like, it's a really striking image.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? Like, where she's just like on the train. And then she wakes up in the diner and she calls your man Red.
Yes.
And so like when he brings her back to the house, this is what this is like you're getting this is about, you know, there's about 40 minutes left at this point. And I was like, okay, this is the end game of the movie. Like,
this is where they turn it up here. And it's like he's being too nice.
He's like, I have your deposit back if you want to come back to the house and get it.
Like, oh, okay.
And
like, no, I'll stay here. You, and he's like, you want me to go all the way back? And then like, yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. I'm not going.
You wouldn't say that. You would.
Yes, I would.
Give me a break. You would.
I probably would. Maybe I would.
Okay, I'm going back to the house with him. Yeah.
And then they get back to the house, and he's like, oh,
there's a fucking party going on back.
And he's like, oh, it's up in your room.
And then he doesn't let her leave.
Major red flag. Like, yeah.
She's looking up in your room. Fur it everywhere. It's and like, then, oh, you shouldn't have, what did he say? Like, you shouldn't have called me.
Like, yeah.
If you had waited, I would have given you the money back or something.
You some bollocks. He's there all of a sudden.
Basically, he's kind of like, I'm conflicted here. I don't want to be doing what I'm doing, but my brother needs me to. Which is a load of bollocks, though. Like, it doesn't wash.
Yeah. No.
You don't believe him for a second. Like,
that, like, the whole cult angle of this movie was kind of lost. You know what I mean? Like, it was...
comes out of nowhere. Like, what is it? Like,
it's like, what's it for? Why are they? Like, you know, like, so many questions. It's like, okay. And then it sort of turns into a bit of a, like, your man is coming to save her. He barges in because he sees her jacket. He just gets pummeled to death.
That's the uncle. That's the uncle that was getting her the job. She rings him. And he's like, I'm out of town. Oh, you know. You kind of got the impression, though, like, because they never met before. It was like, he was her mom's cousin.
Yeah.
And, like, even his, like, new wife and stuff was like, you've never met this girl. Like, why is, you know, why are you being so nice to her? That kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
Like, that was kind of well done, I thought. Like, even her, like, speaking Spanish to, like, his son, Carlos.
Yeah.
And, like, the wife's like, oh, we don't speak Spanish. Carlos doesn't speak Spanish, you know, like.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like, the flavors of that kind of, the hardships outside of the scary house, I liked.
Yeah, that really added to what would have been. Like, if it didn't have that and it was just the scares, you know, it would have been considerably worse.
Yeah. But essentially, like, there's two other girls, Romanian girls, now sharing the house with her.
And they all seem to be, like, under the spell of whatever this is. They're loving
life. They're all losing their minds, essentially, and they're all seeing these ghosts. Like, they've all been kind of marked or whatever by the brother, fucking Beck. Beck? I don't know.
Remember. It could be Becker.
And essentially then, when we get to it, it's like, there's a cool kind of visual where she's kind of half asleep. She sees the two girls asleep on her bed, and then she sees everybody you think that has died. Because, the very first scene is some different girl staying in the house on the phone.
Yeah, which was good. I liked everything.
She's talking, and she's like, I think I need to come home. I made a mistake coming here. And then she gets killed by something. And
so basically,
you see her with the rest of these ghostly women. So it seems that it's everybody that's been killed in the house is now haunting it, or is a spirit here, or whatever. And then she wakes up, and it's like the two brothers are like basically like abducting the other two girls in the room. Yeah. And then she kind of tries to fight back and gets knocked out. And then they're up in the private room that they were not supposed to go in, like the brothers' sleeping quarters.
There was a room that was locked throughout. Yeah. And so they're finally about to go in there. And the brother takes one of the girls in, and like there's a
baby. I can't like overestimate the fucking size of this guy. Like,
he's about 7'5", 450 pounds with abs.
I would say about 6'8" and about 380 of muscle. Yeah, like a slab of beef and no neck.
Yeah,
like, but like he's just like slinging them over their shoulders. Yeah. You know. Bringing them down to who knows where. Like, so he brings one of the Romanian girls off. Then the other one is knocked out on the bed, I think. And then there's our main girl, Ambar. And again, like, you don't... He's like... the man is kind of vague about it. He's like, oh, you know, my dad was doing this when we came back and Beck got sick and...
Yeah.
Since he's doing it now, he's been better, and you know, he just needs a couple more hits and then we can leave this place. You're like, okay, what is it? Like, they don't tell you. Like, they don't tell you any reason for it or what it is.
Particularly, I'm just going to get to it, Terry, because they basically, she goes down to the
She's put on a slab for a ritual.
In a room with the box, and he's like, oh, you should be honored. And she's all like, please don't do this, blah, 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 blah.
She's chained to like a stone slab.
Yeah, like a ceremonial sort of thing.
And she's marked with blood and stuff like that. Like,
and out of the box, you see this thing coming out, and like, it's first of all, you see like the beefy arms coming out,
which I kind of liked. I liked that.
It's some sort of creepy creature or whatever. But like, what comes out is like some sort of like moth, man, woman, spider.
It's like something out of Resident Evil, like a boss out of Resident Evil.
PS1 Resident Evil.
Yeah.
The graphics.
GameCube Resident Evil.
Okay, I will give you that.
Yeah. Like something out of Resident Evil 4, I would say.
Like really, really bad CGI of this giant fucking...
But what I will say is I dug the idea of the monster.
It just came out of nowhere. I'm like, what's this?
Yes. It came out of nowhere. You know? But I dug the idea of like this weird fucking thing. And I would have preferred it if it was done like something out of John Carpenter's The Thing. If it was done practically, and it was like this abomination of like, you know, like where you're like, fuck, that would have been way more unnerving. Where you're like,
this was just like
Jesus Christ, and it's just, I'm just like, oh, it's a CGI goop,
and like poorly animated, but poorly lit as well. Like it didn't look like it belonged in that room.
That was the other thing where I was like, this room should scare the shit out of me, and it was just like it was just like a basement with some candles, and it was like, if it was something like, if you think of something like, I don't know, even a video game like Silent Hill, you know, like the rooms in those, you're like,
the rooms by themselves are scary,
terrifying. So like if you think of something that, like, I don't know, like, it's, if it's supposed to be a cult, it should be unnerving.
There should be more things in there, or darker.
It just looked like a basement with candles, and that was it. And you're like, oh, okay. And I guess that is what it is.
Literally like a box room.
I tell you, like, but Blair Witch Project is a perfect example of, like, if anything, it was too well lit. The room looked too normal. Like, like
It was bright, this room.
The end of... Yeah, it's the color of my background here. It's as well lit as the room I'm in now.
So I was like, okay, well, I can, and I can see, like, that's the big problem I have with horrors is they show you too much. You know what I mean? I want to leave wanting more. Like, I don't want you to. I don't want to see the full frontal. I want to guess what's there.
That's what the master is. Of horror, understand? That's like,
don't show it to me, don't show,
and then they show you.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was, they're not really, they show me nothing, and then they just show me this thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
there was absolutely no setup to this thing.
There's no tease.
That's what the funny thing was. Like, not only did it look bad, but it was just like, and where the hell has this come from?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, there was
and it was like feeding off. Basically, what it would do is it would infiltrate her subconscious, and like in this, like, oh, she's staying with her sick mother, and her mother's like, stay with me, and all through the film, she's like, I will stay, and now she's like, oh no, like, I have to go.
Yeah. See, this is the other thing as well, because I hate this trope in a horror movie where she's like lying on the thing, and then it's like the door opens, and it's the uncle who's been killed. He's like, oh, I'm actually still alive. Come with me. And he unties her. And I'm like, well, we know this is all in her head straight away.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's like just moving down this hallway. But it looks like she's coming out of the box, which I thought was actually quite a cool idea. And then she's back in the room with her mom, like you say. And the mom is like, can you stay longer? Can you stay longer? Oh, please, I need you. And she's like... Eventually she's like, no, and the man starts choking her, and it's actually the fucking moth monster choking her.
Yeah.
But when she eventually like breaks away and smothers her mom in her mind.
Yeah.
Killing her mom. And then she just wakes up and the moth thing has gone back into the fucking... And when she opened the box, it was like a bunch of bones in there? Did you see that right? Like, was it like baby bones? Or was it like, I don't know what
it was. I didn't know there were baby bones, but
they were small bones, I thought. Right, but anyway, then it turns into like she comes out of the basement and goes up to kill the two brothers, essentially. Yeah.
And so, like, she knocks down Red, and she basically ends up killing...
She has this bat that is full of, like, blades? It's made out of razor blades or something? I don't know.
Kills
again, ill-defined Becker. And ill-pointed out. And, yeah, she kills... Like, there was a bit where I was unnerved.
Which bit?
Where she, like... excuse me. She like, slices Red in the shoulder and in the... I think in the jaw and something. And basically, like, has him incapacitated. She kind of takes Beck out for a little bit. He then, like, comes back, knocks her down, stamps, like, destroys her ankle.
And I'm
like...
It was very real looking. That was a good one, actually.
But just the way, like, his giant foot on her tiny, like,
thud, like.
Yeah, it's like, oh. And then, like, while he's doing that, the other girl that was on the bed is, like, attacking him. And he ends up, like, tossing her over the balcony. Which, in my mind, it was like, why would you do that? You're sick. Don't you need as many fucking girls as possible? True. And eventually,
At this stage, the wheels came off, to be honest.
She ends up killing Beck, and I don't know what he said. He says something like, "You can't stop her," or something like that.
Oh, right.
And then she brings Red down and lets the ceremony happen.
And how the fuck would she be able to drag him?
That was my thing.
After he just destroys her ankle, she's able to carry a man who's like at least twice.
One and a half the size.
Yeah, like he's a big enough guy. Yeah. She's to drag him all the way down the stairs, down to the basement, up on that slab, and tie him up
and do all the stuff and all that. Yeah. Like.
And all of a sudden she now like doesn't have a bother going back into this room where this horrible thing is. Like, yeah, I've conquered that, so I'll just come in here now. I'm not concerned at all.
So she's then walking up. She has the house to herself now, essentially.
Mm.
And she is walking towards the door, limping. And I was like, oh, like they better do this. They better end it. And then her foot magically heals.
Yeah.
Because she sacrificed Red.
Yeah.
So she gets healed. Good. And I was like, oh, here we come. Now they're going to nail it with the ending. And then it's just like, ends. And I was like,
well,
yeah, I mean.
Wasn't it that, like, she was getting
power or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and she wanted to stay in the house then, be like Red and Becker?
Yeah, but here's what you do, Andy. Here's how you nail it.
Go on.
Fade to black. Come up. You see another girl looking at the billboard, looking at an advertisement for the house. She shows up and rings the bell and it opens and it's Amber there. And she's like, hello, come on in or whatever like that. And she's continuing the cycle.
That's exactly what they should have done.
Well, even then I would have been like, okay, cool. That's cool. Whereas it's like, she seems energized by it. And then I think it kind of shows the box again, maybe. And then that's it. And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
The end.
Yeah, I thought, like, I definitely...
Wheels really came off.
At the end. And it's a shame because it kind of left you feeling like... It was so bad that it almost, like the ending, that it almost undid the good, you know, from earlier.
For a low-budget horror, like we talked about it the last time in the Tall Grass, that, like, I do love that there is this place for these movies nowadays. Netflix original, you know... things. It reminds you of
the shitty
horror. Yeah, exactly. The horror aisle in Extravision. That being said, and I guess like you probably would have found a movie like this that have that kind of ending.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff in it, and I kind of felt let down after the promise of the first half an hour or so.
Yeah.
that I was like, oh.
Oh, it's one of these.
Yeah. This is it? This is what we're doing? Okay.
I was thinking, you know, like, yeah, like it kind of... I actually don't know what... I would say I would, if I was rating this movie, I would give it a 5 out of 10.
That was my exact thing. A 5, okay. Not a turkey.
Yeah.
But I'm just disappointed.
Yes.
Like...
disappointed because it had promise.
Yeah, and you kind
of... most of them don't have promise from the get-go. So...
well, I'm glad you picked a lot of these then. there is some other ones on your list that I'm genuinely excited for.
I am too, and about 10, 15 minutes into this movie, even though like I did prefer the start, I was kind of like, ooh, I may have picked a turkey here.
I'm gonna give it a 5, like you said there. So
what's... is both of our ratings... Five Bloods.
So first. Five Bloods is top, and then you had in the Tall Grass a little bit higher than me. I think I gave it a 6.5, you gave it a 7.
Yeah.
And then we're both going 5.
Okay. So this is the worst one so far.
Yeah, I would say it's the worst one. Like, I had way more fun within the Tall Grass. Yes. That was the thing. Like, whereas... yeah, like, that was a more fun horror movie, and yeah. It was... like, it's wasn't not necessarily... classic.
Yeah,
I didn't really have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, one. I wasn't necessarily enjoying myself watching this one.
But that's the thing. I was like, there was interesting things. Like, yeah. Even like the fact that it's called No One Gets Out Alive. Like, and it's about the American dream at parts. And the fact that like these two girls that work together, like her and Kinsey. And the fact like Kinsey was able to just turn on her like that. Like, they really do a kind of good job of like showing you how hard her life in America is. Yeah. And that's why I think if they'd put that end scene in it where it's like she's now willing to sell out and sacrifice women that were in her position in order for her to maintain her little piece of power that she's gotten, like that would be way more powerful, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't give you that, like, you know what I mean?
It's true.
There's enough
and it was right there for the taking.
There's enough in this movie that like you could have made it quite good
in the hands of other people, would you say?
Yeah, like in the hands of other people, like, and like even when your man's like, you should be honored or whatever, when he's doing the ritual,
yeah,
like, give me an explanation. He's like, my father taught me how to do this, it, you know, passed on from the ancient, worshippers, whatever the fuck it was. Like, he didn't give you anything. He just was like, "See ya," and closed the door behind.
Like, and then, oh, okay, yeah. Fuck me, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Like, like that's me as the viewer. Being like, yeah. Hey,
fuck me, huh?
Come back here. Well, look, like little things. If he just gone, I don't want to say gone the extra mile, but if it was just that extra bit of.
It was just a bit better.
Yeah, it was just a bit better.
You know, if it was just a little bit better, I'd be very happy with it.
Yeah,
but
it was okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was.
I'll hold my hands up to that one because I didn't necessarily. This felt as I was watching it like I was watching one of your movies. No offense. It felt
offense taken.
It felt.
What do you mean, like one of my movies?
Like one where I'm kind of sitting there like. Where I'm pressing the button on the remote to see the progress bar. You know, like one of those sort of movies. You know that kind of way, T?
No.
Like the early Ryan Gosling ones and the fucking, you know.
Give a fucking break ones. With the Ryan Gosling already. They're good movies, man.
It was traumatic.
It's traumatic.
I'm still carrying a lot of pain. Well, look. I'm done talking about this movie.
I got you there in the end. I got you off in the end.
Yeah, you got me off. I'm editing that out.
No, keep that in. That's going on the Insta.
Double it.
That's on the Insta, man. if anybody, like, passing viewer, be like, oh, well, I got to listen to them now.
That seals it. Well, folks,
I got you
very
off
much.
Too, folks.
You can catch us on Twitter. What's so great about Pod? You can catch us on Instagram at WS... No, I got it mixed up. WSGA pod on Twitter and What's So Great About pod on Instagram. You can find links to all we do on in our Instagram bio, including our Patreon.
Hey, the Patreon. There she is, Miss okay. America.
All right.
So, on the Patreon, for the low, low fee of $5 a month, €450, you'll get 4 bono episodes per month. Now, I keep forgetting to mention this. You get all of our old behind-the-paywall What's So Great With episodes as well. So you get all of our Marvel Cinematic Universe ones that we've done behind the paywall. Excuse my voice, folks. It's faltering now, like, at this point in the podcast. You get all those ones there. So all of our Phase 1, 2, and 3 movies that we've done, and our Phase 4 TV shows, they're all there to be signed up for. You also get our What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops. All that stuff is there, plus the other, to clarify, it's big
Will Smith movies.
I want to come back to this again. Will Smith, I'm not bringing it up at the top of the program. He's not okay, Andy.
I agree, he's not okay. But how good does King...
No, it doesn't look Richard that look, good. It looks...
looks great, Terry. And you know it looks great.
No, it doesn't. It looks mediocre. Looks schmaltzy as hell. You know who'd be better? You know who'd be better at playing King who? Richard?
Who?
Denzel. And I'll tell you why. No. Because you believe Denzel could be a nasty motherfucker. Where you don't believe Will Smith is doing like, hey, yeah, I'm, you know, like if you're a sports parent and you're going to push those kids the way you do, you need to have a fucking mean streak in you. And like Denzel would give you that. Or Jamie Foxx or somebody.
Oh, Will Smith is Jamie like, Fox.
He's like a big smile on his face. There. Come on, girls.
Yeah.
And apparently he's notoriously difficult to work with. I just can't, like, oh, Will really? Smith is just like, not Will Smith, but like Richard.
Oh, right.
Williams. So like,
I'd say Big Will can pull it off.
The only reason he's in this movie is he was like, I would like to make this movie and I will get this movie made because I'm a big name and a producer. Like, they're like, well, I mean, Will Smith is interesting. Like, yeah, if we want to do the movie, I guess. Yeah, Will
I guess
Smith.
We have to. Yeah, Okay, guys, that's great news.
He's not
See
okay, though. He's not okay.
He's working through some stuff. You know?
What was that latest thing? When he came, he vomits or something?
Yeah, it was so against his core character that when he used to have sex with lots of women and he came, he would sometimes vomit straight afterwards. Look, he's a genius, comes in many forms. You don't create something like Millennium. You know what
it was,
I mean?
20 without years
being,
ago.
Without being, it was, you literally know, 20, totally normal. Like, you're not going to be totally normal and create a work of genius like that.
22 years ago, that was.
Yeah. How long ago was fucking Da Vinci, huh?
From Vinci, Andy.
No one says, oh, that was 500 years ago. What have you done for me lately? Well, you know what I mean?
Da Vinci's not alive. And
timeless
Vinci...
art is timeless art, Terry.
You know what? We were listening to... for some reason, yeah? Cisco came up in conversation. And we put Thong Song on the Alexa. And then Faye was like, what else could we put on to that's similar to
in,
that?
In this vein.
And what do you think I said?
Was it a Will Smith song?
It was.
Was it...
I'm serving you your outro song on a platter as well. Like,
oh, was it from Millennium?
It's from a soundtrack.
Oh, God. I don't know. What was it?
We're going straight to...
Oh,
because
man.
Big Will, Drew Hill. And, you know, absolutely. Cisco was the leader of the Drew Hill gang.
How fucking good is that song, huh?
Not great.
Come on, Terry. As soon as you hear that...
Loveless, was it that man in the West?
I mean, like, the whole thing, it just gets better and better. Six faces are turned just for fun. Sun up to sun down. He's not, rolling he's not, around he's to where the bad guys ought to be found to make them lay down.
He's not okay. So, as well as those, you get like other bonus episodes. So, like,
a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just, what did we do last week? We did. What did we do last week?
Oh, the radio. We did a radio, radio show
last week, which was great. Had a great time doing that. We've done Picture of Nature's. We've done a bunch of top fives. We're dipping our toe back into the MCU this week with our Black Widow review. And going forward, all our MCU stuff will be behind the paywall, folks. So, you know.
And there's nothing you can do about it, too. Well, listen.
That was a weird tangent. You know, a 10-minute way to explain how you can subscribe to our Patreon. Anyway, if you can't afford the Patreon, I know time to shove out there. What you can do is give me a rating and a review. Now, Andy,
yeah,
did you know if you wanted to have a fake ID made up, if you want to be from Ohio, it costs you $1,000. If you want to be from Texas, it will cost you $3,000. Now, okay. I'm not asking for any of that. All okay. I'm asking for is 5-star review. Okay? That's all I want. Really helps grow the podcast.
How does he do it?
Not one of my better efforts, I'll tell you that.
Well, you got there.
Yeah, I know. Just about.
Listen, it's impressive. It's impressive that you managed to find your way
week out. And again, it's like when I'm doing the Patreon bit, I'm like, oh shit, I got to come up with a fucking 5-star review bit. Anyway, please give us a rating and review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Tell a friend, tag a friend, post, give it, you know, tag
phone a friend.
Post on social media.
Go face friend. To face. Well, no, don't go face to face. Go call a friend
distance.
On Zoom right now and say,
socially
hey.
Distance, you know, 6 meters apart, tell them about our podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, tag a friend, post about it on social media, whatever, you know.
Well, folks, whatever you do, you get the big L from me. I love you, folks.
And thanks for listening, guys. We made it this far. We truly are doing the Lord's work.
You didn't do your bit.
What was my bit?
You only get the big L from me
behind the Patreon. On the paywall, all right? I just wanted to say as well, because we talked about it at the top of the show, I hope everybody's staying safe as can be out there. And, you know, I was going to say, no, I can't say it.
Go on.
I can't say it on the main feed, but I care about you people out there.
Stay safe.
It's as good as. It's what you're going to get on the main feed from me. West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada. None of this. Six gunning this, brother running this. Buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you. Any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the law and abide. Watch your step, we'll flex and get a hold in your side. Swallow your pride. Don't let your lip react. You don't want to see my hand where my hip be at. With Artemis from the start of this. Running the game. James West, taming the West. So remember the name. Now who you gonna call? Not the GB. Now who you gon' call? G-W-E-G. If you ever rip with people wanna bust, break out before you get bum rushed at the Wild Wild West. When I roll into the Wild Wild West. When I stroll into the Wild Wild West. When I bounce into the Wild Wild West. Cisco, Cisco. Upon a time in the West, madman lost his damn mind in the West. Loveless, kidnapped or down, nothing less. Now I must put his behind to the test. Then through the shadows in the saddle, ready for battle. Bring all your poison, it kind of poison. Behind my back, all that riffing you did, front and center. Now where you look back, kid, who that is? A mean brother, bound for your health. Looking damn good though, if I can say it myself. Told me Loveless is a madman, but I don't fear that. He got mad weapons too, ain't trying to hear that. Trying to bring down me, the champion. When y'all clowns gonna see that it can't be done.
Understand me, son, I'm the slickest they is. I'm the quickest they is. Did I say I'm the slickest they is? So if you barking after wrong tree, we coming. Don't be starting nothing. Me and my partner gonna test your chest, loveless. Can't stand the heat to get out the wild, 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 wild. When I roll into the wild, 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 wild. When I stroll into the wild, 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 wild. When I bounce into the wild, 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 wild. Weighing a ton, 10 paces and turn just for fun. Sun up to sundown, rolling around. See where the bad guys are to be found and make them lay down. The defenders of the west, crushing all pretenders in the west. Don't mess with us, cause we in the wild, wild west. When I roll into the wild, wild west. When I stroll into the wild, wild west. When I bounce into the wild. Wow, 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 wow